What's up, everybody? It's Hank here with the audio version of Smoke Break MMA. And my guest today, former UFC fighter, been on the Ultimate Fighter, been in this game a long time. Some people forget that, as he mentioned, Gerald Harris.
What's up, man?
Not much. I mean, I've watched you forever. Like we mentioned, you know, before we went live, I've got the season of The Ultimate Fighter on DVD. that you were on season 7, Forrest Griffin versus Rampage. Great season. I mean, great season. It takes you back to the good old days, don't it?
Yeah, man. I was 28 years old when that happened. Actually, I was 27 when I got on the show. I had only been fighting for a couple months. I mean, I fought, but I wasn't training. I didn't have a gym. I joined Team Quest, and 3 months later, I was on Ultimate Fighter. So I only had about 2-3 months of training, and boom, I was already basically almost in the UFC. So I wasn't ready for that show, but I mean, people still remember to this day, man.
How fun was that show? Like, just, you know, in short, did you like it? Like, was it aggravating, or did you have a blast?
No, it was great 6 weeks. The only problem is, man, a lot of people don't know why I broke down is because I quit everything. I had a job in my apartment, so my rent was free. Mm. I worked in my apartments full time. I was a teacher at Team Quest, and that was the only money I had. I was making like $200 a week, maybe. So my cost of living was basically gas to get to the gym and rent, which I was using my little fight money and working at the apartments. So I went on the show. I literally quit everything. I moved my family out, and with my mom, like, yo, I made it. Mm-hmm. I'm on the show. I made it. And I went there, and we had to fight to get in the house. That was scary, bro. Because if I would have lost, I'd have went home. No job, no house, no nothing.
Damn.
And I mean, I sold my car. I put all my stuff in storage. Like, people don't know what we go through, man. They only see the show. So when I lost, I only made $3,000 the whole show. You don't get paid to fight. So that was my second fight. I lost. And I had nothing. So, it hurt me. You know, my kids was at home. We were living with my mom, and I was hurt, man.
Yeah, I was going to say, did you already have kids at this time? You already had a family at that point.
Yeah, man. It was 2 kids at the house. I just had my second son. I mean, it was hard, man. You got to understand, taking my family, thinking, I thought I made it. I thought, because everybody that was on Ultimate Fighter normally got a fight in the UFC. To get in the UFC, like on the Ultimate Fighter finale. First we had to fight in, then I lost, and then they cut us before the finale. It was super messed up.
Mm. That was the season, you know, where Jesse Taylor, you know, went crazy at the end, kicked the glass out.
Yep.
Are you not on the finale?
No, we got cut before the finale, man.
So you're not. So they didn't even offer you any fights. When did the UFC come into play, or do you not have any UFC fights?
Yo, they cut me. They cut me like a week after the show. Like, it was crazy.
That's crazy.
Like, we stopped filming in like March, I think, or February, a little bit after the Super Bowl. They called me like, "Yo, we not getting you a fight on the finale." I was like, "What?"
That's
like,
crazy.
They're like, "No, dog, we ain't bringing you back." So I was like, "What I got to do to get in?" And Joe Silva's like, "You gotta win some fights and call me back." So I won like 5 fights in a row by knockout, and I called him. He's like, "You need some more." I won 4 more fights. I think I was at 9-0, 9-fight win streak, 8 knockouts and 1 decision. No, 8 finishes. Some people tap when you're hitting them, so they call it submission. It wasn't a submission. So I get to my 9th fight. And I was like, I called Joe. He's like, "You need to win some more." I'm like, damn. I said, "Look, nobody knows this." I said, "Joe Silva, the next person that gets cut from the UFC, I'm knocking their ass out." And I said that. And he was like, "All right." And God, what's his name? He got cut. Austin Eck. Nissan Austin Eck got cut. And I knocked his ass out in less than a minute.
That was kind of your ticket.
It was bad. And boom, I was signed. So Dana White actually signed me, Joe Silva at the time. You know, then, you know, my UFC career was even crazier. But
so when did comedy come into it? Has comedy always been a part of your life, or was that
way later? I've been doing comedy since I was 19.
Oh, so
I started fighting when I was 26. Yeah.
Before comedy, fighting.
Yeah. I've been doing comedy since I was in high school. I've been winning talent shows. I was doing comedy shows whenever I wasn't even supposed to be in the club. I was 19 years old throwing parties with liquor and all kind of shit, like doing comedy shows at bars at 19 years old. So that's 20 years. This is my 20th year doing comedy.
And did you, which one was your first love? Obviously, you know, you loved MMA. Which one was your priority? Which one?
I didn't love MMA. MMA was another form of wrestling for me as far as competition. I was just good at MMA. I never loved it. The UFC was fun. I mean, it was the craziest. That was probably the craziest time of my life, being in UFC. Three knockout wins, one loss, and getting cut. That was kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But still to this day, I'll never take it back. Fighting on pay-per-views. I fought in MGM Arena. I mean, I got a knockout of the night with Brock Lesnar on the card. Like, people still to this day complain about me getting cut. That was 9 years ago. And just, I don't even, man, at this point, I'm so thankful for everything that happened. I mean, I ended up fighting in Japan. I'm in Bellator. I wouldn't take anything back in my career.
Overall, you're 25-7, and I was looking over at some of your wins. You know, you have a KO win over David Branch.
Yeah, that was the slam at UFC 116.
That was bad. That was a bad one. I was rewatching that. A lot of people forget about that.
I mean, it was a while ago, but you know what? 2 years ago, that was voted knockout of the year. I'm like the fall guy. Okay, I slammed David Branch. It was voted knockout of the year, and I got knockout of the night that night. I was never invited to the MMA Awards. Never. They gave it to, like, a kick. No, they gave it to Shogun Rua knocked out Loyola Machida with some punches, and they're like, that's knockout of the year. I'm like, come on, man, at least let me come to the awards. And then 2 years ago, I fought a guy that was 40 pounds overweight. I don't know if you ever saw that Slam and Legacy. It's bad. It's the one where the guy, you probably saw it, didn't know it was me. The guy climbs up on me, I put my forearm on his neck, and just boom, like it's crazy.
Oh, that one.
I'll send it to you when we get off. It's bad. That was voted knockout of the year, and I still didn't get invited to the MMA Awards. They said that's the most watched knockout they ever had in the history of Legacy.
Damn. So where did you wrestle? Where was your originally, because, you know, you're originally a wrestler and wrestling base. Where did it all start from?
I started in Oklahoma, still here now, born and raised. And I got I started when I was young. I was 8 years old. Wrestling was good, man. I mean, I lived in the hood, but like it was, I stayed out of trouble because I was like a comedian. But wrestling just kept me out the streets. Like, I mean, just the old story of, you know, people staying out of trouble. I was always wrestling. I was at home, I was wrestling. And it got a college scholarship. I wasn't getting an academic scholarship, tell you that. I got a college scholarship, got my degree. I mean, I did really good in college. I got over 100 wins, broke a lot of records. I went to the NCAA tournament 3 times, and then I wrestled for the Olympics, not Olympics, but I went to the world team trials and took top 12, which is not bad. And then after that, I was like, I'm just going to go back and teach and coach. And while I was teaching and coaching, my car broke down and I needed money. So that's how I took my first fight. So I only got into MMA to make a little money, and it just kept paying really good. So I was like, I might as well do this while I can. And look at me now, I'm 39.
Still in it, still getting fights. People still, you know.
Yeah,
so when exactly did Bellator? Because you haven't been with them for a couple years, right? Just like maybe a year.
No, just last year.
Yeah,
I was at the house. I was chilling. I was about 218 pounds. All I was doing was eating and taking care of my kids, and I had a gym. The gym was doing all right, and I got a text. It was like, "Yo, you want to fight?" I was like, "No," and it was like, well, they'll pay you good. I said, well, when is it and who is it? They was like, it's in 3 days. I was like, you got to be kidding me, man. It was Tuesday. I weighed 218. I had to weigh 188 by Thursday. So I had like Wednesday, Thursday. I had like 2.5 days to make 188. I said, look, I can't make 186. I said, can we do 190? They were like, no, which I can understand because it was fight week. Right. So they said 188. So Lovato gave me 2 pounds, which is better than zero. And I barely made 188, bro. I mean, it was rough.
I could imagine. Because you didn't have time.
And I fought. I hit him hard as shit, though, man. I hit him so fucking hard. That's probably one of the hardest times I hit somebody. And he went down, and he got up, and I hit him again, and he went down again. And I got excited, and he pulled me down into the anaconda trap, bro. It felt like a snake jumped on me, man. I swear to God.
That jiu-jitsu, like we were saying, too, he is top-notch jiu-jitsu. Bellator's got a lot of great fighters, you know. Some people sleep on Bellator, but they've got guys like Aaron Pico, like Michael Chandler. I've said before, you know, Michael Chandler, in my opinion, might be the only key to the safe that is Khabib. I think Michael Chandler, you know...
He would give him hell because he's hard to take down, man. He's
tornado.
You know, look at Ben Askren. People have been sleeping on him. Let me tell you what I try not to debate with people online, but I do have to check them. I said, look here, y'all talking all that shit. Most of y'all UFC champions and UFC top contenders came from the WEC and Strikeforce.
Yep.
I understand the UFC is top, but you can't deter the fact that all these guys, look at Daniel Cormier. People pretend like they don't know. If Strikeforce never merged with the UFC, people would say Daniel Cormier is a bum. He fights cans. And look at him, double champ, probably one of the greatest fighters of all time. People be sleeping on these. Yo, I'm going to tell you right now, Douglas Lima, Michael Venom Page, super underrated. Lovato is underrated. There's nobody that can touch Lovato on the ground. Nobody. He's gonna fight Machida, and if Machida goes to the ground, it's over. I'm not saying that because he tapped me out, but I'm telling you, the dude he's a monster. You know what I'm saying? Look at McDonald. Rory came over and barely beat Lima. Barely. Because he wrestled. Yep. You know?
And most of your champions, you know, from the UFC come over to Bellator. They go over from the Bellator to UFC. You know, Dominic Cruz was from WEC. Mm-hmm. Anthony Pettis was from the – you know, all these champions, like you said, they – people do sleep on Bellator. Speaking of Bellator, you know, and I got to bring it up, and I mentioned it a little bit, you know. There's this guy by the name of Aaron Chalmers. And I watched his first fight with Ash Griffin. Not his first fight, but his first fight with Bellator. And, you know, it was pretty weird.
It was wild.
Yeah, it was weird. The guillotine probably dropped him with a weird, like, just flailing punch, and then... the guillotine, it looked like the Ash dude just kind of dropped his arms and pretended to go limp a little bit. And a lot of people online were calling it a fix, you know, but I give him a pass.
Anybody can fight, but he can't fight good, you know. And he's thinking that he's getting paid good and people love him. He's getting caught up in the hype. It's almost like Insta fame and a rapper, you know what I mean?
People like gonna hype tattoos. You up.
you know, people hype you up. And then you take your ass to a real rap battle and you're going to get destroyed. You know what I'm saying? Mm. So, like, guys like that, I just cracked a joke. It was like, yo, you swing like fucking like a caveman. Like, you can't box, bro. Like, I posted a GIF. I didn't even say nothing. I posted a GIF under his fight clip. I didn't even know he lost the fight. If I knew he lost the fight, I wouldn't have posted it. I didn't know. I thought he won. And it was a kid throwing punches it was like a gamer, you know, the kid with the headset. And it was a joke, and the people were dying laughing. He jumps on there and gets all pissy about it, not knowing I'm a comedian, and he's just giving me more ammo, bro. He's coming at me, and I'm just bow bow. I'm just eating him up. People are posting gifs of him not him tapping out, telling him to stop. Like, yo, you can't mess with Hurricane, bro. Stop. Because I was killing him.
It was definitely funny. I was watching it. You know, I follow both of you. Aaron, he's kind of...
it's fun, man.
He's kind of in a weird position, you know, where he got famous from a show, you know, the Jordy Shore, I think is kind of what they call it. Kind of their version of the Jersey Shore here. But he's kind of... I've seen more people say that he's famous for his tattoos than he's famous for anything.
Yeah. Well, he's bragging about his money. He's like, I got a six-figure contract, bro. Motherfucker, I got a six-figure contract too, but you still got to earn it. You got to win.
Right.
You know, my pay is good. If I win all my fights, I'm going to get six figures. But if I lose, then yeah, it's not great. So no, contracts ain't shit. You can't brag about a contract.
You know seen what I mean? My That's, tweet. As soon as you you started clowning him, I tweeted... is that good? Is that fight gonna happen? Let's make, you know.
Nah, he's too little, man. I'll break his ass. He's too little, man. He just got beat by a 55-pounder, man.
But let's say he jumps up. He's a 155 or a 170.
No, he's 170, but he fought a 55-pounder.
So you,
I mean, if he wanted to fight, I'd meet him halfway. I meet him at 75, 80. Yeah. I can't make 70. again. That's too much.
You don't think you can make 70 anymore?
I would hurt that 70 dude, man. I would hurt that dude. That ain't happening, bro. I would pick that guy up, and I would literally try to push him through the mat. I'm not kidding.
I think that would be a fun hype-building matchup. Build it as like a fun
little fight. They ain't going to let that happen, man. I'll kill that dude, man. He's going to leave on a stretcher, man. You seen what I did to a guy that weighed 224 pounds, man. What you think I'm going to do to a 170-pound guy that can't fight? Oh, man, that would be bad. I'll probably knock one of his tattoos off.
And we mentioned, too, he probably didn't even know you were in Bellator. He probably had no clue you were a Bellator fighter.
No, people usually talk shit to me, then they see who I am, and then they start going. You can tell they disappear for like 5 minutes, and they do their little Google search, and they're like, start talking about my losses or money. And I'm just like, dude, you have no idea. So, no, it doesn't bother. Bro, people talk about my dead brother online. It don't bother me, man. If you're going to be online, you better have thick skin because, you know, people with no profile picture piss you off, you know? You can't get upset at what people say.
Definitely. And Twitter's the worst. Twitter's
bad. Mm-hmm. Twitter's bad. I love Facebook because when people talk shit, you can really school them because it shows who they really are. Twitter is full of, like...
fakes.
A guy with a picture of a cat wants to argue with you. Like, come on, man. I'm not going to argue with you.
So, we only got a few more minutes here. I appreciate you in ahead of time. Thank you so much for coming on, school, giving us a little bit of wisdom. You know, I'd love to have you on again sometime if we can manage that. And, before we get you off real quick, breaking news yesterday that Robert Whittaker, you know, first it was a hernia, and then they said that his colon popped through his stomach was what
shit.
Dana said that his...
Well, that is, I think that technically is a hernia where whatever. He had surgery, though. Dude went straight to surgery. He was still trying to fight. He would have died if he fought, if he got hit, kicked in the stomach.
Yeah.
I mean, literally his shit would have just went flying out his body. People tend to think that when we call out of fights, we're dodging or we're scared. Or that's not the issue, man. You can't fight injuries like that, man. That's not even injury. I don't even know what to call it. That's a medical emergency. That's what that is.
That's emergency surgery.
Yeah.
Going into it, I picked Gastelum. I actually had Gastelum in that. I thought Kelvin was going to, you know, pull an upset. What did you think was going to happen? You know, I know we didn't see it, but what did you think was going to happen?
I don't bet against Gastelum because the dude always proves everybody wrong. So
same pitch.
I like Whittaker. Whittaker's a cool dude. Whittaker reminds me of GSP, but Gastelum is a dog, man. He's a dog, man. Dude hits hard. He comes forward. He's like he said, he's been an underdog his whole career. So I wasn't betting on either one of them. But the cool thing is they both used to be 170 pounders.
Yep.
That's the thing I like about it, you know. And that's why I went back up to 185 because I was fighting at 170 and it just, man, it was terrible. You know, I can make the weight, but I'm no good. I had two IVs. I didn't pee for like 2 days the last time I made 170. Whew. I mean, I was doing bad. A lot of people don't know. I had to go to the doctor pretty much after I made weight at 170, man. It was bad. You know, I didn't want to lose the fight, though. If I would have told the commission or something, I wouldn't have got the fight.
Yeah, no more fights at 170. It seems like 185 is a good home.
I like 185, man. I felt great my last fight. Unfortunately, it was a draw, but it was good. You know, I don't know how much longer I have left. I'll be 40 in November, and I haven't heard from Bellator, but they've been treating me good. They gave me 3 fights in 9 months, so I'm not complaining, but I do wish this for MMA. It's the only job you have when you don't know when you're going to work. If you're a musician, they say, hey, you got a concert on this day, and that day.
Right.
If you're any sport, they have a schedule. We don't have a schedule. I just wish that MMA would let us know, yo, Harris, you're going to fight in March and November this year. Just that's it. And then I would know to, like, I had to pick up, you know, I wasn't going to work because I wanted to train full time, but I went ahead and took a job. I had nothing to do something. I was, you know, I have nothing to do. I can't, I train, but I'm not going to sit around and train for 6 months. You know, for a fight that I don't know what's happening. So
I definitely agree with you. Like, if they called you and told you, okay, you're fighting in January, you would know, okay, I can't eat this. I start dieting, you know, start lifting weights, like start preparing.
Yeah. What I've been doing now is there's a card in March. I've already started preparing for that. I don't know if I'm on it. I mean, I have no idea when I'm going to fight again. you know, and we got kids, we got a family, I run a gym. I can't, when I train for a fight, I have to pay people as far as to train me. I have to pay people to cover my classes. It costs me a couple hundred dollars a week to train. Like, it's not cheap. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's hard, man. I mean, I could spend $3,000 or $4,000 training alone before I even get a fight.
Definitely.
So what do I do? Like, it's not easy. You know, I can't just work out. You know, I got a boxing coach. I got a jiu-jitsu coach. I got an MMA coach. I got a strength and conditioning coach. I got a lady that preps my meals. I have to pay for every single meal. Like, yo, it's not cheap, man. My money I'm spending now is on meal prep. You know, I'm already starting my meals, so I don't get too overweight. I feel good. I'm really light right now. I'm in the low 200s already.
A lot of people forget about, you know, those little details in MMA. You know, paying your dietitian, paying your manager, paying the people. You know,
I got all that
for all that.
And stuff. We got 8 kids, man. That's a lot of kids.
I got three. You got way more than I got. I could imagine.
My oldest son is in college already, man.
Yeah, man. I thank you so much for coming on here. And where can they find you on Twitter, the listeners? What's your Twitter handle?
It's the letter G and then Hurricane. So G Hurricane, and I talk a lot of shit on there. So nah. Be ready to laugh, man. I don't care who it is. I pissed off a lot of celebrities on there, man. I think it's hilarious.
He keeps it real on there.
I do, man. I do. I talk a lot of shit, but I back it up with facts. I don't just be talking out my ass.
And can we find your comedy stand-up on YouTube?
I never post comedy on YouTube. The only thing you'll see on YouTube for comedians is really old material, because you got to think, we're not musicians. People don't like to hear the same joke twice. So when I get booked, the first thing they do is go online, and I don't have anything. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to record a set, what I call an improv set, where you kind of make up the jokes as you go. Just something online so people can look. But comedians don't very rarely post comedy online. You know, if you notice, a lot of comics are banning cell phones at their shows.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Because I can't travel the world with my special if it's on YouTube. So,
oh man,
yeah, man.
I'd love to have you on again to do just strictly a comedy episode. You know, to me, you know, I go way back, you know, Chris Farley. To me, the two greatest comics of all time. To me, the funniest person alive today is Joey Diaz, and the greatest physical comic, and I'm curious to see if you agree with me, you know, the greatest physical comic was Chris Farley. At physical comedy. Physical comedy, like, you know, making you laugh with his actions.
That's a lot. I mean, I don't like to pick a best. I don't like to pick one. So.
You're not a picker.
I can name a couple, you know, who are there, you know, like even Jim Carrey. He wasn't a comedian as far as stand up, but his physical comedy was hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
Jim Carrey's physical comedy was crazy. Definitely. But yeah, we can go on about that. But I am recording another special in November. My second stand up comedy special I recorded was my best set ever. Murdered it 45 minutes straight, standing ovation, and the cameraman messed up. I want to punch him in the throat. He didn't plug the sound into the soundboard.
Oh, so you got a video with no audio.
The audio is people talking.
Oh, wow.
He recorded everything. It was horrible, man. So I'm going to go for it again in November. Sorry, my allergies are bothering me. Probably think I'm crazy up here. But I'm going to shoot for it again in November. I'm thinking about shooting another special, so I'll keep you posted on that.
Well, Gerald, thank you so much for your time. You know, I appreciate you coming on. And definitely, you know, keep me posted if you hear fight news. You know, keep me posted.
I will, man. Nothing yet, but I'll keep you posted. It might be my last one. You never know. Kind of move on to other things. And one more thing before I go. Speaking of youth wrestling, man, the thing that kept me off the streets, I'm going to start my own youth team. And that's one of my goals, to get back to my old neighborhood. So, but we'll talk.
Definitely. I want to have you back on.
All right.
You have a good rest of the night, man.
Yo, thanks for having me.
Definitely. I hope you guys enjoyed this Smoke Break MMA audio version on the Anchor app with special guest, former UFC fighter, Bellator fighter as we speak, former Legacy fighter. The man has been everywhere, fought on the Ultimate Fighter years ago for Team I believe it was Team Forrest. Yeah, Forrest Griffin was his coach. Gerald the Hurricane Harris, look him up on Twitter. Aaron Chalmers, you might have your next fight.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.